Want to ask again for your prayers as I stand before you this morning. I want to ask you to pray for God's word as it goes forth. I want to ask the church today and all those who are here that have been saved to pray for the lost this morning. If you're here today and you are lost, I want to ask you today to give attention to the Word of God and to be willing to do what He would have you to do. I want to share some scripture with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me today, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And I want to stop my reading there, having read verses 1 through 7, from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to speak to you today about what it means to be lost, and use that for my title, What It Means to Be Lost, The Worst Condition of All. And the Apostle Paul, in his writing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 3, he mentioned them that are lost. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And he goes on and he says in verse 4 that the God of this world, and that is Satan that he's having reference to, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. And so I want to, as I've said, I want to ask the prayers of the church today, and I want to ask for those of you who are lost to give attention. You know, I'm not trying to get you to listen to my word. I'm trying to ask you today to listen to the Word of God. I think oftentimes about how that when Jonah went there to Nineveh and he was preaching there to them the message that God had sent him there to preach, I think often about what the Bible says about them hearing the preaching of Jonah, but they believed God. And that's what you need to do today. You need to believe God. You need to believe God's word. What I'm going to try to bring before you today is not man's word. People have argued for years that it is, but it's not man's word. Man was merely used in penning it down, but they were moved and they were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write the things that have been written. And it's God's word. And you can rest assured that one day we're all going to stand before Him and we're going to be judged according to God's Word, according to those things which are written in the books. I want you to know something today, sinner friend. I want you to know today that if you are lost and separated from God, I want you to know that you are going to stand before God one day in His righteous judgment, and there you are going to give an account unto God for yourself. You're going to face that day. God has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He has raised Him from the dead. We're going to stand before God one day in judgment. And you need to realize that, and you need to understand that, and you need to believe that. That you are going to have to give an account of yourself to God. If you are lost, you are separated from God. You're separated by your lost condition. There's some scripture that we find in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, and it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Now, if we go back to the beginning chapters of the Bible, and we read there the account of creation, and we read how that when God had created Adam, formed him from the dust, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And God had given to Adam a law to keep, and that was of all the trees of the garden, he was allowed to freely eat. But of that one tree there, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God told him that he was not to eat of that tree, he was not to touch that tree, and the penalty for that would be death. In the day that you do, you shall surely die. And so we find that Adam disobeyed God's law and he did die. We know that he did not experience natural death until some years later. But I assure you that what God had said would happen in the day that he ate of that, I assure you that it happened. Death being in its truest meaning, death being a separation, I assure you that the very moment that Adam transgressed God's holy law, that he became separated from God. He lost that fellowship and that relationship that he had had with him before that. I want you to know something. If you're here today and you are lost and without God, and by that I simply mean if you have never experienced that time in your life where you were born again by the Spirit of God, if you have never repented of your sins before God and placed all your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and experienced something where you know that He touched you, where you know that God saved you from your sins, where His Holy Spirit spoke to your individual spirit and let you know that He had saved you, let you know that you've become a child of God. I want you to know today, if you have never experienced that, that you do not have a right relationship with God, and you absolutely do not have what it takes to get you into heaven when this life is over. You don't have it. You're lost, and you're separated from God. And you've got a great dilemma. You are experiencing the worst condition that man has ever known. I'll tell you what, there's nothing worse than being lost and separated from God. And those of you who are lost, I want you to know today that you are living an uncertain life, and you're living in an uncertain world. And death can come at any moment. And when death finds people in their lost condition, that's the way they stay for all of eternity. For all of eternity, those that die lost and without God, they remain lost and without Him. They remain separated from Him forever and forever and forever. There are no more opportunities after that to be saved. So you need to take advantage of the time that God is giving you. You need to take advantage of the mercy that God is extending towards you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But I want you to know today that the Bible teaches us over and over and over that it's those that place their trust in him. It's those that believe, that it's whosoever believeth in him that should not perish, but will have everlasting life. Those that remain in unbelief will not see God's heaven when this life is over. They'll be eternally separated from him. When after that in the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what? To save them that believe. Them that believe. I want you to think. I want you to really think today about your condition before God. You have the God of this world. That's exactly what Paul was saying there. The evil one, the wicked one, the devil himself, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And you have this evil, wicked force. The devil doesn't want you to get saved. And he will try to convince you not to get saved. And he will tell you every lie that he can think of to try to keep you from going to God. He doesn't want to see you saved. He doesn't want to see anybody saved. He knows that he has but a short time, and he's going to wreak all of his havoc that he can. And he's going to use all of his evil power that he can, and he's going to try with everything that he has to keep you away from God. Listen, I can tell you a time in my life by personal experience when I knew that I was lost. I knew that I was separated from God. I knew that something was lacking in me. I knew that there was something that other people had that I didn't have. And the devil would tell me all sorts of lies to try to distract me and to try to blind my mind and to keep the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He'll tell people, why should I believe God's word? Why should I believe what's written in the Bible? It was just written by men. It's nothing but man's word. He'll try to convince people of that. He'll try to convince people that if you get saved, that all of your fun and all the things that you aspire to in this life, they're going to be over if you seek the Lord. Let me tell you something. From the day that the Lord saved my soul, that's when my life really got good. That's when my life really began. And don't, you know what? Nobody's ever going to convince me that you can't enjoy life as a Christian. I'll tell you what's true about it. A lot of those things that we do that we think are so fun and that we're enjoying so much, a lot of those things that people hang on to that they think, well, if I seek the Lord and get saved, I can't do these things no more. Let me tell you the truth about it. A lot of those things that people think are so good, after the Lord touches them, after the Lord saves their soul, a lot of those things, they don't want anything to do with them anymore. They find out that they've repented of those things and they don't desire those things anymore. I want to tell you something, folks. When the Lord Jesus Christ reached down and saved my soul, he changed me. He changed me. He changed the way I looked at things. He changed the way that I felt about things. He took away things that I thought were really important to me before that, and I found out that they weren't important to me at all. I pray today. I really do. My heart's heavy today. I pray if you're here today and you're lost and without God, that you'll have a desire today to turn to the Lord, that you'll have a desire today to seek Him for the salvation of your soul. I want you to know something today, friend. He's your only hope. I want you to know today, without the Lord Jesus Christ, without seeking Him and without finding salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, all that you can do is continue in your unbelief until the day that you die and leave this world and split hell wide open and find yourself there for all of eternity with no means of escape. I mean, listen, those that have already left this world and gone to a devil's hell, they'll never escape that place. They'll never escape that torment. If you continue in your unbelief, remember that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'll tell you what the Bible says about the unbeliever. Romans chapter 21 verse 8, in part of that verse, it tells us exactly the plight of the unbeliever. It says that the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. They'll have their part in that lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Remember reading there in the 20th chapter of Revelation how it tells us about the day that the books were opened and the dead were judged out of those things written in the books, having reference to God's great white throne judgment. And it says another book was opened, which is a book of life, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me tell you something. I have seen people in my life react in all sorts of different ways to their lost condition. I pray today that you'll act in the right way towards that. But I've seen people, they have mocked the people of God when they've tried to convince them to seek the Lord for salvation. Many times people have made fun of those that would try to get people to seek the Lord for the salvation of their soul. Sometimes people in their lost condition have even laughed at those things. They've laughed at the preacher. They've laughed at the gospel message. They've laughed at those and made light of those who would try to persuade them of the wrath that's coming and try to persuade them to seek the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something, friends, today. When the flames of hell begin to consume a person, I assure you they're not laughing anymore and they're not making light of it anymore. I assure you, when that rich man that we read about in the 16th chapter of Luke, when the Bible says that he died and in hell he lifted up his eyes, he wasn't thinking anymore about the things that he experienced in this life. He wasn't thinking anymore about how in this life that he had fared sumptuously every day and that he had had everything that he wanted. He began to cry out for mercy, and he wasn't asking for a lot. You know, you ever notice in that? He was a man in this life that had an abundance. He had an abundance. But you know, in hell, his prayer was, could you just send Lazarus and could he just dip his finger in water, just the tip of his finger in water, to cool my tongue, because I'm tormented in these flames, tormented in this flame. I'll tell you what, he wasn't laughing and he wasn't making fun and he wasn't listening, you know, he wasn't listening to those things he'd been told, those lies he'd been told in life anymore. He knew that he had waited too late. He knew that it was over. And it was. Mercy was not offered him. You could say, well, you know, Brother Miller, I believe in God. You know, I believe God's real. I believe that God created the world. I believe that God created me. I believe those things. I'm not talking about believing facts. You've got to believe those things. I mean, you've got to believe in the existence of God. Certainly, you've got to have intellectual faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm not talking about believing facts about God or believing facts about the Bible. I'm talking about seeking the Lord with all your heart and meeting his conditions of repentance and faith and believing to the saving of the soul. And if you've not done that, if you've not experienced that, then you are lost and you're without God and you're separated from God. You're separated from his love. You're separated from his mercy. You're separated from all the benefits of salvation. I'll tell you what, oftentimes we have those among us, our brothers and our sisters that are diagnosed with disease, and oftentimes somebody may ask the church, remember me in your prayers. I was diagnosed with cancer, or I was diagnosed with some other serious health problem. Sometimes we even hear of those of God's people that are diagnosed with things that are terminal. The doctors have told me that I've got just a few months to live and then I'm going to die. But let me tell you something. I want you to know this. A child of God, I'll tell you what, if cancer is eating them to the bone, they're a lot better off than you are if you're lost and without God. I'll tell you what, whatever comes up on me, you don't have to worry too much about it. Something will get us, won't it? Whatever God wants to use to take me home, that's up to him. But I'll tell you what, if I went to the doctor, Brother Strode, I'm serious. If I went to the doctor and told him tomorrow, or went to the doctor tomorrow, and he told me, Jerry, you know, you're just done for. You've got a disease that's going to do you in. Let me tell you something. I could rejoice in the fact that I know the Lord. I know the Lord. And I know that one day or another, you know, either way that it goes, there's a time appointed for me to die. It may be tomorrow, it may be 10 years down the road. That's not up to me, that's up to God. But the important thing is that my heart is fixed and the preparation has been made and I've got a right relationship with God, and I wouldn't trade that to you for all the money in this world, because when I have breathed my last breath in this life, my spirit's going to take its flight and go home to be with God, and I'm going to enjoy things that this world has never been able to offer anybody. My father has a mansion. My father has many mansions. He has a place prepared for me. He prepared that place, when he saved my soul, when those preparations were made, and I've got a home in heaven to go to when this life is over and all is well with my soul. I'm telling you today, friends, it's well with my soul. I don't have a thing. Eternity holds no fearful thoughts for me. I know that eternity will be all right because I'm going to be with God. And I'm going to enjoy his presence and the beauty of that place that he's prepared for his people. Sister Patsy, there won't be no cancer there, will there? There won't be no terminal sickness there of any kind. We'll be free from those things. We'll be finished with all that, folks. We'll be done. Those are the former things that will have passed away. Boy, I'll tell you today, if you're not saved, you're in bad shape. You're in a bad, bad condition. You're lost and you're ruined before God. You know what you need to see today? You need to consider what God is seeing. Leaving the service won't help. I've seen people get up and leave, when it started to get next to them. That won't help. That won't change your lost condition. That won't change one thing. Running to the bathroom won't change anything. You're not fooling God. You're not even fooling me. People not even fooling us when they're doing that, are they? sitting back and, you know, when the altar call is given, you take your songbook and you start singing. That won't change your lost condition. My mom told me she tried that. She said when she was lost and they'd have the altar call, she'd get a songbook, she'd start singing as loud as she could. People think she wasn't lost. That don't change anything. I'll tell you what, the only thing that's going to change it is coming to God. Coming to God through Christ. It's the only thing that will fix your lost condition. We've made great advancements in medical technology. I mean, the doctors can help people in ways now that 50 years ago they couldn't have dreamed of. A lot more successful in taking care of the human heart and battling cancer and keeping people, you know, going longer. I mean, they've made some big strides, but I'll tell you what, there's never been any cure for a lost soul than that which has been made through Christ. He's the only one. He's the only way. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. You've got to come to Christ in order to be saved. Just a couple more things. If you're lost today, the wrath of God, the wrath of Almighty God is abiding on you right now. Right now. In John chapter 3, verse 18, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And in that same chapter in verse 36, it says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God, and it doesn't say will abide, the wrath of God abideth on him. Right now. Right now. You're condemned presently. And the only way to escape it is to come to Jesus. To come to Jesus. In Psalm 126:23, the psalmist talked about God remembering us in our low estate. And to be lost and without God, there's nothing any lower. There's nothing any worse. And you'll never face anything in life that's any more threatening to your welfare than to be lost and without the Lord. You see, you need a spiritual change. You need a spiritual change. It's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. You're walking around, if you're lost, listen to me. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to what God teaches. If you are lost and without God, you are walking around in this world never knowing when you're going to draw your last breath, never knowing when the moment of death is going to come, with condemnation and wrath abiding on you, and you are just a breath away from eternal torment and eternal damnation and eternal separation from God. That's the truth about being lost. Now, a lot of people today, even in a lot of religions, won't tell you that, but that's the truth about being lost. You are separated from God, and if you die in that condition, you're going to go straight to hell, and you're going to be there for all of eternity. And it's up to you. Listen, friends, it's not between me and God, and it's not between me and you. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. Whether or not you will believe His Word and whether or not you will seek Him until you're saved, that's between you and the Lord. And I'm telling you right now, if you fail to do it, there's going to come a time when you're going to stand before Almighty God and you're going to know that you told the truth. You're going to know that you waited too late to do anything about it. Now you have the time and the opportunity to seek the Lord and to find a right relationship with Him. But without it, eternal torment is what you have to face. And I wanted to try, you know, I prayed that God would help me today to just be able to speak as plainly as I could. I don't want anybody to misunderstand. If you're lost, you desperately need the Lord. You need the Lord. You need Him more than you need anything else in this life. And I'd like for us to have a song. And I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm going home one day. I'm going to be with God. I remember the words to a song. If by chance some happy morning you may miss me, don't you weep for me because I'm gone. I'll be at the feet of the one who died for me when my feet touch the streets of gold. That's where I'll be. Not because of anything I've done, not because I'm good, but because of what the good Lord did for me. So let's stand and let's sing. And follow the Lord today, please. Everybody follow the Lord. If you're here and you're lost, you need to seek.